Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation, nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, dude, we're 1-0, feeling really good about ourselves, as evidenced by the good mood of Twitter. Twitter is not toxic like it's been the past few years, at least right now. But you know, I said it last week, 1-0, you don't want to look ahead. But you have three home games in a row against very beatable opponents. But to your point, we're beatable to them as well. And the first of those teams is the Carolina Panthers. And Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I look at this team on paper, I know this sounds funny to say this, but short of the head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback, it's a pretty good team, no?
Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a good team.
And I say that because I don't love Matt Rhule. We know that this is the Ben McAdoo revenge game. You know, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are both question marks. But you look at the rest of that roster, Chris. It's like, it's a pretty solid outfit, buddy.
Yeah, I had them winning like eight or nine games, maybe even competing for a wild card. And look, throw the first games out the window,
yep.
Man.
Yeah.
You know, they lost to the Browns. Well, first off, you know, they lost at a 58-yard field goal.
Right.
After looking much better in the second half. So, but these first games of the season, man, you see it around the league. You know, I remember the Packers got blown out last year, the first game. They wound up winning 14 games, you know. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, teams start to settle in a little bit now, week two, week three. And like you said, you know, this league's all about matchups. And if you remember, Jerry, I know I had Tennessee in a close one last week. You had the Giants in a close one. But if you remember what I tweeted a couple weeks before, I said, I'm looking ahead a little bit. I like the way the Giants match up against the Titans. Remember, I said, I give them a shot in this game. I think it'll be a close one and this and that.
Yes.
And it wound up being a close one. Mm-hmm. And you look at this league's all about matchups. You look at Carolina in the matchups now with the Giants. It's a little bit of a different animal this week. You know,
yeah.
Carolina could get you on the outside with their receivers.
Yep.
You know, they have some stuff going on, too. They got to clean up after that loss to the Browns. But, you know, as we get into this game, there's some matchups that really concern me, especially now when Aaron Robinson's not going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
He had his appendix removed early in the week. So the Giants are really thin now on corner, and Carolina has some guys who could go get it on the outside, and they're going to be taking shots down the field. So that's going to be one of the keys of this game, you know. But on the plus side, watching Carolina last week or looking at their game last week, they were destroyed in the run game.
Yeah, they were.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunter. Nick Chubb is one of the top three running back in the game.
Yeah.
But you look at the way they were hurting. Cleveland really was hitting with those gap runs. And that's something the Giants did last week. They ran more gap than zone. And Saquon Barkley, I feel, has the potential to have another huge one in this one against Carolina. The difference was that Tannehill didn't really hurt them on the perimeter last week. He hurt them from the slot. He hurt them out of the backfield. With this game, Carolina could hurt them on the perimeter with Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. So, and of course, they got Christian McCaffrey. I asked the tank commander yesterday about McCaffrey, and you know, he came out with the comparison of Barry Sanders-like with him.
Yeah.
You know, so that's who the Giants have gone to. Now, the Giants had a huge test with Derrick Henry last week, and you know, Wink said, you know, he's like the Jim Brown like of today, and the Giants contained him. Did a great job, stopped him. Look,
yeah.
21 carries, 82 yards. You stopping Derrick Henry, bro?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You stopped him.
Yep.
And now there's a whole different animal this week with McCaffrey, another great back, because he loves to play more in space, McCaffrey, and that's going to be the challenge for the Giants. But let's see. I mean, I don't think a lot of people were giving the Giants a chance against Derrick Henry last week. You know,
no.
Especially when they released Blake Martinez. I was one of the first ones to say, hey, you're going to really see this now against that guys like Derrick Henry. And the Giants did a hell of a job. I thought Jihad Ward last week, looking at that game film, was incredible.
Yeah.
And your boy, I shouldn't say your boy, the guy we had dead and buried, O'Shane Zimenez, was excellent last week too. You know,
yeah.
So they're going to need all that, Jerry, against this guy too.
I was going to say that, Chris. I watched the replay on NFL Network, and Jihad Ward was the best player on defense overall, I thought, for the Giants. And what a good spot, right? Like, I didn't know what to expect from him. Like, he's coming over as a free agent, and we'll see what we have. He's a nice player, as you would say. But then, you know, the preseason that O'Shane Zimmon has had, he's dunking Gatorade on Dable after the game's over. I can't believe it, Chris. O'Shane Zimmon is now a coach's favorite after everybody, all of us had him dead and buried. But more than that, what a nice rotation they're going to be when Thibodeau and Ojulari come back. I mean, they're going to be on the outside, right? And Ward and Zimenez will spell them most likely.
Oh, no question. They're going to be rotating in. Look, if Thibodeau plays Sunday, he's not playing 60 plus snaps. Right. You know, if Aziz, who I don't think is going to make it back Sunday, you know, they're not going to play. You know, and they're going to match up what who the opponent is too.
Sure.
You know, that's the way Wink is going to do this too. You know, so. But like you said, Jerry, that is quite a four-man rotation.
Really now, good.
When you got, let me say something about Zimenez too. Man, I know Zimenez pretty well. Before you know his rookie year, then COVID, we weren't in the locker room, and you had that feeling, you know, that touch, that personal touch gone when you see these guys and talk to them. And now we're back in the locker room this year. You know, let me tell you something, man. We all know what happened with Zimenez last year when. That offsides call against the Chiefs, Joe Judge buried him. He took it out on him. He buried him. And that was Judge's prerogative. To me, you don't bury a guy after making a costly mistake like that. I get it. You know, but to bury him, kind of like bury him the rest of the year, I wouldn't have done that. Okay, but that's me. I'm not a head coach. I'm just some dope here doing a podcast.
Well,
okay?
It's also, real quick, it's also easier to do that as a head coach when he's not performing that well to begin with. So it's much easier. Like, it's always, you. If he did that to Ojulari, you'd be like...
He's not your impact guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Right. So he gets buried last year after the thing. We all know he's had injuries, right? But I think people, and don't get me wrong, I had this guy buried too coming off last year, the year before injuries.
Same.
He's, you know, his first year, he had a pretty good year. 4.5 sacks. We thought there was a lot of potential there.
Yep.
And I had him buried. I'm not going to say, oh, I knew I saw this come. No, I had him dead and buried. I had him no chance of making this roster.
We all did. I couldn't believe he wasn't cut.
But watching him in training camp, and you saw the tweets, Jerry, as I was like, oh, this guy's having a strong camp. This guy's doing a lot of good things. You saw the tweets during the camp.
Yeah.
You saw the tweets in preseason. So, and Wink talked about it yesterday when he said, hey, this guy's been good from day one. Yeah. This guy's earned this job.
Good for him.
You know? So I'm happy for Zimenez because he's a great freaking guy, man. A great guy. He let last year went right off his shoulder. Okay, I'm moving on. And he told me that. I moved on.
Yep.
He goes, last year is like didn't even happen to me. I had to prove myself this year. And he told me this. He goes, I felt like I proved myself and I felt like, you know, I did enough to be on this roster and help this team. Yeah. And so far he did enough to be on the roster and he's doing enough and after game one he's helping the team. And they're going to need him Sunday, too.
Yeah.
So, I'm happy for him, man.
I was going to say, the other guy that was buried as well was Darnay Holmes last year. But he was buried earlier. He was buried in the Denver game. He committed a personal foul. But, listen, I don't know what's going to come of Darnay Holmes. But, you know, we'll see. I just wanted to point out that that's another guy that Judge buried very early. And we'll see if there's anything left there. Because we were still high on him a few years ago. But, you know, he hasn't played well. But we'll see.
Yeah, you know, Donnie had a good camp, interceptions, all that stuff. But, you know, let's face it. He's not good in space coverage. Yeah. I said that numerous times. I've said that numerous times. Yeah. And you know, if people are just listening for the first time, oh, is this guy Chris Monday morning? Well, go back and look. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to hook up a history of tweets and stuff like that. Well, history, or go back to podcast. But, you know, I've seen Donnie toast it numerous times in space.
Yeah.
And look, he did not have a good first game. Okay, besides getting beat on a play that could have cost him the game, he also had two key holding calls, too.
Yes, he did.
So we're going to see what happens with him down the road. Those guys like Cordell Flott, you know, and then you got safeties coming back that can maybe roll over.
Yeah.
You know, you got three safety. Look, you got Belton coming back. You know, Tony Jefferson's, you know, we'll see what happens with him. Because Donnie Holmes, like, you're going to put him in that man press in space. And look, he was getting toasted by a rookie Sunday. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works out. Do I feel confident Donnie Holmes covering a man press in a slot out of the slot? No, I don't.
So
his technique was absolutely horrible last week with the two holding calls. He just grabbed the guy by the shoulder pad when he's making a cut one time, you know. So that hurt the Giants. You know, these are things, Jerry, we would have been harping on if Randy Bullock makes that 48-yard field goal.
Totally. Absolutely.
47, I'm sorry. We would have been like, well, Donnie Holmes got lit up all game, and then he gave up the big one. And mind you, that wasn't the worst of coverages. I mean, Tannehill made a great throw there. The credit Tannehill, you know?
Right.
But, you know, he did have two holding calls that kept drives going, too.
Yeah.
Can't have that, bro.
No, no, you can't. So. And he was one of the things I wrote about in the post game, that he was kind of one of the things that went wrong, if you will, in that game. Right. But I guess we'll start there, right? Let's start in the secondary with Aaron Robinson out. I mean, right now, who's the second corner?
And is it? I think it's going to be Faber Moreau.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't mean.
Well, no, it's fine. It's slot and Holmes in the slot again, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Faber Moreau. He's practiced well this week. I think he'll be elevated for the practice squad. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
Played like 16, 17 games last year for the Falcons. A decent corner. And who else do you have, dude? Who are you going to feel comfortable?
You can't throw Flott out there.
I mean, I know Cordell Flott has been out there in practice this week.
Yeah, but
and I just want to tell you something, too. You know, speaking of practice this week, you know, a lot has been made on the Giants feeling really good about themselves. No, I, you know, first of all, if the Giants shouldn't be feeling good about, you know, you feel good and then you move on. And I didn't get the feeling being in a lot. See, this is where you miss the locker room, Jerry. You know, you kind of get a feel from guys talking to guys. You get a feel talking to coaches. You talk, you know, and if anybody's worried about the Giants feeling really good about themselves, no, you know, they moved on. It's like they felt good about the winner. Obviously, you enjoy it for 24 hours and then you get ready for the next game. But talking to some players, you know, talking to Shep a little bit, you know, you don't get the feeling like, hey, you know, we're here now. You know, we got Carolina. We got this thing. You know, we got this one Sunday. You know, I know. But I could tell you this. Today's what, Jerry? Friday? Yeah, yesterday's practice started off very sluggish.
I was going to bring it up. Go ahead. Good.
They were not sharp at all.
Yeah.
And somebody told me this in the locker room. I'm not going to give up the guy who told me this, but somebody told me in the locker room what happened. And Dable stopped the practice.
Yeah.
He had enough of that crap. And he got the team in the middle and let them have it. He, you know, basically saying, are you effing guys kidding me with this practice?
So he's not just dancing in the post game. He's not just high-fiving. He's disciplinarian as well. That's awesome.
No, I've seen Dable get into guys.
Yeah.
During training camp, I've seen it. Like, when Dable has to, he's gonna make his point known that this can't happen. Okay.
Yep.
So he gathered the team yesterday. They started off very sluggish, from what somebody told me, and you know, he kind of got into them, and then the rest of the practice was much sharper. Now, I mean, this happens during the course of a season, Jerry. Sure. You know, guys, you got veterans too. That, you know, like, oh, you know, oh God, we got to, you know, and you're not gonna have, you know, you have three practices during the week preparing for a game. You're not going to have three sharp practices all the time. Sure. Guys are flying. Everybody knows the game plan. Everybody's running the right spot. That's not going to happen. Okay, so but the point being is that Dable made sure that we have to finish strong in this practice, you know, because we have to get ready for a game.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to practice today and all that. They're going to wrap up today and, you know, preparing for Carolina. So now, as far as Dable, you know, I didn't quite get the, you know, he goes over to Daniel Jones on the game. You could tell he wasn't happy with Daniel with that throw, you know. But that happens during a game. I mean, you know. Well, I didn't see the big deal of it. I'm happy Dable did it.
I think people were just happy that for the first time ever since Parcells Sims that happened. That's all.
I don't know. I know for a fact Judge used to get on Jones too sometimes. Maybe it wasn't animated.
It might have been a situation where the camera was in the right spot. That's all.
I guess the camera's in the right spot. Yeah. This isn't unique. You know, so I thought it was. You know, I'm glad to see Dable do it, but this is what happens during the course of a game. I mean, but I'm glad that, you know, Dable, you know, he wasn't happy with the throw. It was a missed opportunity. We all know what happened.
Yep.
And he moved on. That's what happens, you know. So, but glad to see Dable do that. You know, he obviously, you know, I've seen Dable, you know, when he has to, he'll get into somebody. I've seen him rip, you know, I actually seen him go at it with Martindale once during a practice a little bit, you know, so.
Ten command. By the way, you know, by the way, sorry, you brought his name up. They should play that clip at MetLife of him talking about getting loud. Oh God, talk about saying the right thing. I'm sorry to go off subject, but before I forgot, I watched that clip and I got goosebumps right now, man. That dude, And I'm glad Tank Commander sticking. I think everybody's calling him this. I think it should be a thing.
Is it?
There should be shirts. Well, on Twitter, they're like, every question, Chris, when he's talked to the Tank Commander, and, you know, the 50 questions we got today, a lot of them are about the Tank Commander. But that, talk about a guy who's getting it. I mean, they should play that at MetLife, his presser. Anyway.
Yeah, the coordinated day every Thursday is quite entertaining, because you don't know what's going to come out of the Tank Commander's mouth. You really know it. He's hysterical, man.
Yeah.
He's a guy you enjoy covering, you know. Because he just comes out like what?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. He came out yesterday and he was just like, how you doing? We're glad to be here. We got that. And he started going to the Giant fans. We want silent counts. We want this.
Yeah.
I know I'm not from New York, but trust me, I know the way it is here. I don't know, you know, this. And I thought that was really smart by Wink, to do that. It's going to be a loud building Sunday until it's not a loud building if the Giants, don't give them fans reason to be loud. So it's going to be loud, bro, beginning of the game, no doubt about it. Everybody's pumped up about the first win. It's supposed to be a nice day, so it's going to be a packed house, and it's going to be very loud, man. People are excited about this team, man. They're excited about the way the Giants responded in the second half. They're excited about the way the defense basically stopped Derrick Henry. They're excited about plays like Tate Crowder, knocking Derrick back, depleting him.
Mr. Extremely relevant right now.
Yeah, I think people are excited, really excited, Jerry. Not so much about Daniel, but they're really excited about Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, the offense.
What he did last week. And let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something about this young guy, bro. Some guys like to say, oh yeah, I got a chip on my shoulder, I'm out to prove it. They're full of shit. Saquon, I've been saying this since the spring, bro. Yep. He's out to prove something.
Yep.
And you saw the way he ran Sunday, man. Low on his shoulder. Those gap runs, put that foot down, exploding in there, taking on guy, being physical and all that stuff, man. Barkley is, it's not like when you talk to him in the locker room and he's a guy walking around with a face on, like, I hate the wall. Watch this.
Right.
No, he's still a class act. He's still the nicest guy going.
Yeah.
But, man, he is on a mission when the game starts, and he's on a mission when he steps on that field this year. And Jerry, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to, like we talked about, he's going to have a big year. I think game one proved that. Let's not forget Tennessee was a second-ranked defense last year against the run, and Saquon ran wild.
Yeah.
And you just get that feeling about him, right, Jerry? Like the 2018 feeling where every time he gets a touch, you think he's going to hit a home run.
Yeah, I mean, someone asked about bold predictions the other day, and they said, look, not only will he have, based on everything you're telling me, have a great year, I think the Giants somehow work out to re-sign him. And the reason is, they're not wasting a second pick on a running back now. He's already on the team. So who are you going to replace Barkley with? Someone else? Like, I just think they'll try and find a way. I think he's the face of the franchise. If he's performing like this, they're going to figure it out. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. But No.
It's a good point, because if he plays 17 games, he's going to force their hand.
Yeah,
like,
how
you not resign this guy?
On the team. Yeah, and he's with us now. Real quick, I met a Ravens fan yesterday, and I just wanted to share the story with everybody. I said, thanks for Wink Martindale. What'd you guys think of him? And he said, loved Wink. He cannot stop blitzing. He will blitz with college free agents at corner. And I thought, I was talking to Chris Bisignano for a second. So I just wanted to pass that on, that it is true, guys. The rumors are true. That's what the Ravens fan think as well. But he did, this guy did love him. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Something just quickly on Wink, just to hold the thought on Wink a second, Jerry. Something that I've been talking about for a while with Wink about, he doesn't give it. He's gonna be aggressive right to the end, and you saw that last series against the Titans.
Yes,
he went after Tannehill.
Yep.
He played man press, and at times you're gonna love it. And let's face it, that man press with Holmes getting beat. If he kicks that field goal, a lot of people are gonna be like, well, why did you have that man? There's gonna be people's, but this is what Wink is. This is what he's gonna do.
Yep,
that's it. He went after Tannehill numerous times. They just didn't get there in that last drive,
Yeah, and look, if it didn't work, it's still not as maddening as watching a three-man rush and have the quarterback take 10 minutes to find his open players, Chris.
Jerry, I'm not knocking it.
I'm just saying my opinion on this.
I've pointed it out numerous times that this is the way Wink's going to go down, and it's the way he's going to play it. And that's and you saw it. It took one game already to see, wow, this guy doesn't give a shit. He's going to keep blitzing, even in a layup. Look, let's face it. And Patrick Graham, I'm not knocking Patrick Graham. I think Patrick Graham's a pretty bright defensive mind.
Yes.
But there's no question Patrick Graham wouldn't play cover two that last drive.
Yep.
Cover three. He would not be aggressive that last drive.
Not at all.
It would have been a different story, you know. But Wink is going to be aggressive. So you saw it right off the bat, everybody, in game one.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break and be right back after this. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. All right, Chris, staying on the defense still. Kayvon Thibodeau spoke at his locker, and you got a good question in. I just wanted to know if you, for those who didn't see it on Twitter, you want to share that if they didn't see it on Twitter or on the video?
Well, you know, he was asked numerous times about he's going to play, and you know, I think it's going to be like a game time decision. We'll see how he does today. He's doing a lot more. Yesterday, you know, he was doing some individual work, and then he got off. He ran on a bike, and you know, so he was at his lock, and he just, you know, a lot of people want to know, you know, get a feel whether or not he's going to play, and he kept giving the day to day. We'll see. So I kind of like I didn't try to trick him, but I was actually looking for his reaction. I was looking for his facial expression when I asked it, just to see. A lot of times you ask a question, a guy, he might give you that standing answer, but he kind of lights up at first, or he kind of gives you that look like it ain't happening, you know? And I just asked Kayvon yesterday, I said, if there was a game today, mind you, this is yesterday, everybody, Thursday. I said, if there was a game today, would you play? Would you have played? And he thought about it. I tell you, he's a sharp dude, bro. He is a smart guy, man.
Yeah.
He thought about it, and he said, well, there is no game today. It's a couple of days away, you know, so we'll see, you know, so... But I did look at his face when I asked it, and I kind of got the feeling that he thinks he's going to play. You know, that's the impression I got. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how much more he does today. Personally, I think he'll be listed as questionable. Today the game report comes out. I think he'll be listed as questionable. I think he'll be like around the game time decision. And if I had a gun to my head, I'm going to say 60-40 he plays.
I watched the whole thing as well. That's what I took from it too, kind of the smiling. It's going to be limited, but I think he's going to play. He may not even start. He may, you know, maybe Ward and Zimenez, but he'll get in, especially on passing.
He might come into some pass rushing packages. Yeah.
Yes. So, fans should be happy. I do think also that he's going to play. Now, change gears to the offense. There's another guy that may not play, who was recently added to the injury list, and I'm trying to not say it in this voice, but I can't help myself. He now has a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
So on top of not practicing well and only getting the ball twice last week, now Kadarius Toney has a hamstring.
Yeah. Well, that came out of nowhere.
I was going to say, were you surprised by that? Or?
Well, I didn't see him. Look, he did a little work yesterday, but we only there for like 20 minutes or so, the media portion. You know, I saw him doing some individuals, and then he stopped. But I didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
Got to be honest with you. And then all of a sudden, you know, the injury report comes out later on, and they see he's a new addition with the hamstring. So, Jerry, I don't know.
I just want to see him play. I want to see. He's electric. He got the ball once. He got like 19 yards last week. And it's frustrating because he's a great – he could be a great player. It's just, man, we can't get this guy on the field, Chris.
Yeah. So I don't know what the his situation is going to be for Sunday. Now we'll find out more today. I'm sure he'll be down as a questionable.
Yeah.
You know, with the hamstring, and we'll see how he moves around on the field today, if he even moves around at all. So right now he's going to be a question mark for Sunday, man. So it looked like he was going to be more, you know, a bigger part of the game plan. Now it's a question mark. I don't know. You know?
That's all right. I mean, it is what it is. So, but offensively against this defense, right? You look at this front seven. And there's some decent names there, man. Derek Brown, Brian Burns, Shaq Thompson. Like I said before, Gross Matos. You look at this and you're like, ooh. You know, I know we dealt with Simmons last week, but wow, this is another test for this offensive line. And I know look, they were gashed last week, but you know, Cleveland has a great running game. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I thought they got better in the second half.
Right, you know? But this is going to be another challenge for this offensive line, dude.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, they could get after the quarterback a little bit. Brian Burns is one of the better defensive ends, you know. And Derrick Brown slowly developed into a pretty solid player, you know, the number one pick from a year ago. And Shaq Thompson's a very active linebacker. But, you know, I still feel they could do things in a run game against these guys. But passing situations, those third and longs, you got to try to stay out of that. They could be in trouble there, the Giants. You know, although, you know, Andrew was unbelievable last week. And Thomas and Evan Neal pass protected pretty well, too.
Yeah.
So the interior of the line got to do their jobs against guys like Derrick Brown, Ioannidis, and all that stuff. So, yeah, pretty active D. I like their corners, man. You know, I like J.C. Horn. I don't know how much. I think Saquon's going to be such a key to this game because I don't know how much they're going to do on the outside with Galladay's and, you know, the J.C. Horns, Dante Jackson's. They're pretty good corners, man. Not bad corners. And
Xavier Woods seems like he's been playing forever, safety. Like, you see him all the time.
Yeah. He was pretty active last week too, man. So not a bad back end for Phil Snow and his unit over there. Now they got where they got hurt last week. You know, they did, you know, Brissett did make some throws on him, some tight window throws, especially that last drive.
Yeah.
And obviously the running game, the Browns with over 200 yards, destroyed him. So that, to me, Jerry, that's gonna be the key to this game. Can the Giants get Saquon going, which I think they could.
Yeah.
And even guys like Matt Breida, dude. You know, why look for Breida to get in there and get some chunk yards himself. You know, some chunk plays himself. Because if the Carolina comes out and they kind of slow Saquon down and they can't get the running game going to the Giants, I think they're going to be huge trouble, you know. So that's going to be the key, man, right there.
Another tweet you put out this week that I think caught a lot of people's eye about Andrew Thomas going to be a very rich young man soon. And deservedly so. And, again, I think you nailed it. He played so well Sunday, and he's just, you know, from where he came in 2020 when he was drafted, and we were like, oh man, I don't know. I hope we picked wisely, and it turns out that I wouldn't want Wirfs. Obviously, wouldn't want Becton, Wills. Like this was the right pick. He's been so good, and he's getting better every week, Chris. He's going to be, like I say, he's the guy that we want there for 10 years, and. You know, they'd be very wise to lock him up, man, because he's just getting better every week. He's getting healthy. He's the captain. I mean, talk about nailing this pick.
Jerry, you know, he's getting to the point now where you're not talking about Tristan Wirfs anymore.
Right. Exactly.
You know, the first 3 years, I mean, this is his third year. You know, that whole class came out 3 years ago. And a lot of people say, oh, Tristan Wirfs was there. You know, look how great he is. And, you know, and Jarek Willis. And, Tristan Wirfs has been the best tackle to come out of that draft. No question right now. But Andrew is getting to that level now. And he might even be at that level. Right. He's very close to it.
Yeah.
We nobody's saying, but Tristan Wirfs. And now it's getting to the point of, okay, Tristan's a real good tackle over there, and we got a real good tackle over here.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We weren't saying that the first 2 years. We're saying it now, though.
And the fact that he's a true left tackle, Chris, I just want to add one thing.
Yes.
The fact that he's a true left tackle. If Daniel Jones doesn't work out, you are dropping a new quarterback into this system with a solid, rock-solid boulder protecting your blind side. That is, you can't put a price on that, dude.
Right. No, it's huge. With a soon-to-be Pro Bowl tackle, you know?
Right.
You know, so that's huge, bro. That's huge. So I think we all feel, and that's the thing about Andrew Thomas, is that we're not really talking about Tristan Wirfs anymore.
Right.
Okay, Tampa, you got your Tristan Wirfs. That's great. The kid's Pro Bowl, but we got our Andrew Thomas, you know?
Yep, no one cares
anymore. We're good with that.
Yep.
And it's a credit to Dave Gettleman, man. I know that's acid and all that stuff, me talking, but I'm just saying it's still a credit to Dave because, you know, they scouted this kid and they saw it, you know, and he's turning out to be a unbelievable tackle. He's so smooth now with his feet and his hands, bro. He's like, I was watching him, watching the game during the week, last Sunday's game, and he's just... You know, he's just so smooth with his feet and his hands now. Yeah. But he's just, you know, I think he gave maybe one pressure, if I'm right. That's what you're looking for, bro. You know, and that's what the Giants have right now. You know, and you know what? His ankle's feeling much better.
Yeah.
So you got to, and they manage that ankle in practice. Trust me, they manage it, you know. So you got to hope he holds up ankle-wise. because he's turned into one of the better left tackles in the game.
All right, so look, we're looking at this game. Going to go through Barkley again. Is there any damage they can do in the passing game? Maybe in the slot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not in the slot. The Giants?
Yeah.
Oh, the Giants? Oh, yeah. Look, I think they got to get them from the slot.
Yeah.
You know, Shep, I don't know what's going to happen with Tony. You know, he's going to try some manageable Richie James type things and maybe take some shots with Galladay. I don't know. You know, I don't, you know, to me, the outside perimeter game is going to be, I don't know. You know, so they got, like I said, you know, the C.J. Hendersons, he could be beat a little bit. But Dante Jackson's the Horn kid, you know, they're pretty talented. So Saquon's going to be the key, bro. We'll see if they try to get Daniel Bellinger involved a little bit more. Or they're going to get some, you know, plays out of that backfield with Saquon and Breida, passing-wise. Hey, Daniel, look, I'm going to talk about Daniel just 1 second.
Okay? Yeah, go ahead.
Just a little bit, Jerry.
Sure.
Now, Daniel, he had a couple plays he could have let it rip Sunday. I'm watching it, you know. He kind of went down to the manageable 5 to 7 yard check down.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Daniel played okay. And I know he finished 17-21, so people write him, oh, he's 80%, Chris. What are you talking about? No, yeah, I get that.
Who cares?
I get that.
Yeah, no,
To me, he was a little stiff.
Yeah.
He was a little worried about making mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay? Daniel, this is your last year here, possibly.
Right.
Let it rip, dude. Yeah. And I could tell you this, and I'm going to tell you this for a fact. The Giants looked at the game film. They sat down with Dable, Kafka, Shea Tierney. And there was a few plays where they wanted Daniel to kind of like, Daniel, let it go. He took the safe check down.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Now, Jerry, Daniel's going to have to get this in his head. Dude, this is your last year here, maybe.
Yep.
Don't play like I'm afraid of making a mistake because the media is going to destroy me. And let's face something right now. Let's talk about something right now. The media has destroyed this kid from the spring on.
Yes.
They've basically every day saying he's not going to be here. And I'm not talking about me and you, Jerry. I'm talking about other members of the media.
Right.
And that's their opinion. You know, but a lot of guys have been from day one. He's not going to be here. He's not good enough. He's not this. He makes mistakes. And no matter what Daniel says, they know everything that's written about them in the media. Don't let them bullshit you about, oh, yeah, I only read certain. They're full of shit. They know everything that goes on. Trust me.
Interesting, yeah.
But, dude, I can see where some guys react to certain guys in the media.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, they're colder than other guys. And I believe me, you know. Point being is that this kid has been beat up by the outside voices for months about how he's not going to be here, this and that. So I felt there was times Sunday where Daniel was so worried about making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And that even includes when he was sliding. Like he slid a few times like, oh, I got to make sure I don't get hurt type slide. Oh, am I sliding right? Am I going to get destroyed in the media about this slide? Am I going to...
Yeah.
Dude. And I swear to God, Jerry, I'm going to... Daniel's actually been out in his locker a little bit. A lot of times with Eli, when he wasn't... You know, his presser days, when he wasn't, he'd be gone. You wouldn't even see him, you know?
Yeah.
Daniel kind of comes out in his locker a little bit. He hangs around. You could actually grab him. I swear to God, Jerry, I'm telling you right now, when I see Daniel next week, I almost got to be like, I'm going to tell Daniel, let it rip. Trust Daniel, do your thing, bro. What I mean by that is that there was a few routes that looked like they were developing Sunday, and Daniel just went for the check down.
Yep.
He went for the check down. He was like a game manager. He really was.
Yeah, Chris, I know he was 17-21, like you said, and I know that his rating was 115. But to me, apologies to all the Daniel Jones fans out there. It was the most unproductive 17-21 I've ever seen. I didn't come away thinking, wow, he was really accurate. And I know that PFF put out some stat that he had zero uncatchable balls, which I don't understand when the one was intercepted, but whatever. I don't know what that stat was, but I thought the same as you. I thought he checked down a lot. And if he doesn't make the throw to Sterling Shepard, who was wide open. Now, he did look off the safety. That was a good play. And if he doesn't make that fourth and one, we're talking about an apprehensive quarterback who checked down the entire game and didn't take any shots at all. So I'm with you on that. I think he does have to rip it more, and I'd like to see that.
And I think you will. Jerry, I think you will as this process moves along. Now, I'm just going to disagree with you a little bit as far as accuracy. I thought, in his checkdowns and his balls, and even Richie James dropped the ball, I thought for the most part he was pretty accurate. Not that he was making challenging tight window
throws. My point is, I can make a 7-yard accurate throw. That's all not saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I get what you're saying. Yeah. But, we have seen quarterbacks, though, even on some throws, like they're low, whatever.
Fair enough.
For what he had to do, or what he felt he had to do, he did pretty well, okay? Yeah. And that was basically manage it, Jerry.
Yeah.
But Dable isn't a game manager type. He wants to see Daniel let it go. So as this process moves along, Jerry, maybe even this week, look for the Dallas game, the Bears game. As we move along, look for Daniel to take some more shots. Like, let it go. Let it rip.
And I want him to. He throws a great deep ball. I want him to.
Yeah, not stupid shots, but let it develop a little bit.
Yeah.
The key here with Daniel, and he's such a deep thinker. He's a very serious young man. Eli was a jokester. Eli is very serious, but he could be a clown. Eli used to be a jokester.
You see it now with the podcast and everything else he has going on.
Right. And Eli was a jokester in the locker room all the time. He showed the media one face. And once in a while, he'll cut a joke at the media. But he's, all that. But he was a clown in the locker room. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Daniel's it's just a little more serious. And not that that's a bad thing, but he's got to get that mentality of, I wish he had the mentality, Jerry, of, hey, this is my last year here, maybe. I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to go out, watch this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean play stupid.
Yep.
That just, be more aggressive.
Yep.
Right? Because, this could be it for you. Go out, under your terms. Don't be afraid. I felt at times he was very robotic, very stiff.
Yep.
Even in his slides, even when he ran, when his runs. Jerry, he cannot play with that mentality of, I can't make a mistake because I'm going to see it in a paper or I'm not going to be here next year. You can't do that.
Yeah, he slid like he was going to get detention if he didn't get the... It was just very weird, like he was going to get in trouble or something. It was very weird.
Right.
But to your point about going down swinging, Daniel, go down the way your defensive coordinator does. Like, he's going... Wink Martindale, we just said it. Wink Martindale's blitzing. He's coming at you. If I go down, I'm going down swinging. I'm going down, going after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Big Lou VCR, I know you're listening, and thank you for everything you do on Twitter. There's in the America's game in 86, Parcells tells Sims before the Viking game, I don't care if you throw 5 interceptions today, just keep winging it. Now, we don't want Daniel to throw 5 interceptions, but the mentality there is, take your shots. Take your shots.
Well, Jerry, I could tell you this, bro. That's basically what Dable is talking to Daniel about.
That's awesome.
I know that for a fact. Yep. That's what Dable's talking to Daniel about. Hey, listen, they look at it. Hey, look, let this develop. We want this. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Not like, and when quarterbacks say, when head coaches say, let it rip, I don't care if you throw 5 picks. They don't mean that literally.
Sure.
It's like the meaning is, be more aggressive.
And
that's the mean.
To take the pressure off of the quarterback.
Right. Passive aggressive. Be smart with the aggressiveness,
Yes.
But be more aggressive.
Yes.
I thought Daniel was too much of a game manager Sunday.
Totally, totally.
But, Jerry, I feel as this process moves along that Daniel will be more aggressive, because that's what they're telling him.
Yeah.
That's what they're telling him.
Yep.
Obviously, Jerry, nobody's cutting. There's a check down. There's, you're on the heavy pressure. You got to check down quick. That's a different. I'm not talking about that, But I felt there was a few times where he kind of checked down pretty quick, instead of maybe letting something develop. And I think we're going to see that improve as we move along. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't, he has no chance of being here next year. None.
None, and it's gonna hamstring the offense. People are gonna they're gonna come up to the line more. We know they don't take, he's not gonna take chances down the field, and then it's gonna hurt Barkley as well. So he has to take chances. He has to throw the ball down the field more.
I expect the Carolina to stack this box Sunday and let Daniel beat them. That's what I think is gonna happen. So I think they're gonna come up.
Yeah,
you're gonna see Jeremy Chinn coming up because he's a very active safety. He's an excellent safety.
Yep.
You're going to see guys coming up at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Watch, Jerry.
No, it's another guy. I'm sorry. I didn't bring him up. Yep. Another guy on his defense.
You're going to see a very active. I think they're going to come up and come out with, okay, let Daniel beat us. Because we can't have Saquon run 20 yards at a pop, you know, like that type of mentality. We'll see. We'll see how they play it Sunday. But that's the way I would do it right now. I'd be like, well, let Daniel beat me. Let this guy beat us, you know.
Good stuff, dude. All right, guys, we're going to take another break. We'll be right back after this. And we're back. You want to touch anything else on the offense or defense? You want to get to questions?
No, just, you know, at the beginning of the week, I don't think many people realize this, so I put it on Twitter. Oh, you know, Ben McAdoo is back this week.
I know, it's amazing.
He's the offensive coordinator for Carolina. You know, Ben will be back in the building. He was on this week with reporters in Carolina were asking him about coming back to the Giants. He said, well, I was back there last year with Dallas. No, you know, I love my experience there. You know, Ben took the high road and everything. And, you know, so he'll be back this week. And he, you know, he'll be looking to have a big game for his unit, obviously, against his former team that, you know, he was the head coach on. So just a little game within a game. Right? Ben McAdoo is back in the building.
Last year, the opening game was the Pat Shurmur Denver offense. Now the opening home game is Ben McAdoo's.
Right.
So listen, so you know, we seem to lose these revenge games. I'm not looking at it as a revenge game, but yeah, it is funny that he is the offensive coordinator there. You almost forget about him. But anyway, all right, dude. You can tell the Giants are winning. We got a lot more questions this week, so good stuff. We'll start off with one of your favorites, Chris, Kyle Johnson. Love Kyle, dude. Chris,
who at halftime already was saying we stink, we're not going to win a game. Remember, I saw his tweets during the game.
That's why I love him. That's why I love him.
Yeah,
Kyle Johnson might be the worst of my personality, like the obnoxious Yankee fan, downtrodden Giants fan. Like when I read his stuff, I'm like, this was me like 20 years ago. The Kyle Johnson is me 20 years ago. Chris, how does the locker room / players feel about Tony? Does he talk? Joke a lot to teammates. Also, do you think the coaches like him?
Yeah, the coaches like him. They're trying to get him going. What was the first part of the teammates?
How is he with the teammates?
Yeah, no, he's pretty good. You know, he sits next to Shep, which was obviously a calculated move by Dable. You know, the veteran receiver, take the young guy under his arm a little bit. He actually sits next to Daniel, and he's in between Daniel and Shep in the locker room. So I thought, obviously, a very calculated move by Ben Mac. Oh, my God. Listen to what I just said. By Brian Dable, you know?
Good Lord.
By Dable. So, yeah, look, I see him. Not that he's a loner, but he seems to be a quiet guy. You know, teammates, I see people talking to him. He doesn't look, he's not like, you know, like, get away
I'll be honest,
you know?
I liked his response to, he didn't care that he only got the ball twice as long as they won. I mean, that's kind of the right thing to say, so I'll give him that.
Right.
Yeah, I just want I don't have hatred for Tony, guys. I just want him to play. I want to see this kid out there. He's electric. He gets the ball in his hand. He makes things happen. So I don't want my attitude to be taken as, here we go again, let's trade him. No. I want him out there. I want to see this kid playing. Yeah. He's got tremendous talent. We saw what he could do last year when he played. And again, one carry last week.
Jerry, Adrian, the big, one second before we go on to the next one. Jerry, the biggest thing about Kadarius, which is Kadarius has to realize, okay? Yeah. At this level, in the National Football League, you just don't play Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
At this level, it's Monday
to
Saturday.
Yep.
And then you play Sunday afternoons. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
This is a job, Jerry. I know it's football, it's a game, but these guys got families.
Yeah.
People are looking for paychecks. They're looking for the next, you know, they want to get the extra, the big, this is a business.
And if you are a superior athlete coming out of high school, you may be able to get away with that in college.
Oh, you will get away with that in college, dude. You know, it's got a scholarship and the whole deal.
Right.
There's no, but like Carl Banks likes to say a million times, there's no scholarships in this level, bro.
Yep.
Kadarius's biggest thing he has to realize that you have to put in the work from Monday to Saturday.
Yep.
You have to dedicate yourself 100% in those 6 days. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you play Sunday. So, we'll see, man. You know, look, the injuries part, that's something totally different. You know? We'll see what happens Sunday. But like you said, dude, I think everybody, including myself, I had him as the Giants' best receiver this year, and it's not starting off that way right now.
Same here. All right, lots of Tony questions, guys. I'm probably going to skip those just because we've covered it. Adriana Iafola chimes in, from the motherland, Chris, Ciao d'Italia. She planned the trip before the schedule came out. Anyway, with KT out and Wandale out, do you expect to see anything from Sills? More snaps, different looks, etc. Hashtag buffoon crew.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna be now if Tony doesn't play too, man. But you're gonna see Sills definitely getting more reps, no doubt about it. It looks like Wandale's not gonna be playing, and Tony we don't know about. You're gonna see. Well, you saw Richie James last week. You're gonna see Richie. You're gonna maybe see a little more Sills.
Yeah,
and hopefully. Hopefully you get a little more targets towards Kenny Galladay's way, you know?
Yep. Giants Carb Crush, one of the nicest guys, Chris Rosa, who, guys, if you're looking for a tailgate, contact him on Twitter. He knows where everybody is, seems to know everybody in that parking lot. So when you ask us about tailgating, just go straight to Giants Carb Crush. And it's weird because he's jacked, so I don't even really know how much he eats of tailgating food. I think he brings like a can of tuna and a bottle of water, but... just joking, Chris.
Where is he? Where does he tailgate?
No, he knows everybody. Like he's part of another tailgate where you pay like $30 and they take care of you with everything. It's like,
gotcha.
You know, it's K something or other. Somebody asked this morning. I just said, guys, go straight to Giants Carb Crush. Cause he's like Mr. Popularity and a great dude in the parking lot. I was kidding about the tuna, Chris. I just, when I met you, I was like, oh my God, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Jerry and Chris, I'm setting the over-under at 2.5 for the crazy Giants crowd on Sunday, causing false starts for the Panther offense. Are you going over or under? I'm going over because I think they'll get into Baker Mayfield's head a little bit. Yes, I'm going over.
Gonna go over?
Yes.
Okay. 2.5?
Yeah.
False starts? Yeah. You know what? Well, let's see. Seattle had 3-4. Oh, Seattle's a lot. You know what? Let's place. Yeah, I'll go with the over on that one.
Chris,
Baker's a half a nutbag. So, you know, exactly. If he gets one, Baker will be like losing it.
He's getting 10. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Seattle. My God. What clock management with Denver, huh? Anyway.
Prime example, Jerry. It's a whole different ballgame when you're the head coach.
Holy cow. All right. Great question from Giants fan Vermont. Your tank company is being overrun by a battalion of German panzers. You can pick one person to save you from defeat on the battlefield. Do you choose A, General Patton, B, General Abrams, or C, Don Wink Martindale? Thanks for all you guys do. Hashtag God bless the tank commander. See, it's becoming a thing. Probably still going.
Well, I can tell you, guys. You know, it's obviously a tongue-in-cheek type question, but look, I compared. I think I even wrote it. I might even mention one of the articles I wrote. I'm not quite sure, Jerry. You'll know better than me.
Yeah.
I even mentioned the comparisons a little bit. And and look, you everybody gets what I'm saying. But Patton, did I write that? Oh, I just put it on Twitter. I don't know.
No, you put it.
I'm so shot. I don't remember what the hell. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they both were very aggressive. General Patton believed the one thing, push forward,
Right.
And if for you war history guys, you know, read the Battle of the Bulge and you'll know what the hell I'm talking about. And that's what Wink believes in. You know, Wink believes in aggressive. We're going to go forward, you know, we're going to take it to them. So
love it.
Yeah, we'll take them. You know what? We'll take them. I'll tell you what, you know, George Patton, I'm a big World War II guy. History buff. You know, Patton used to love driving around with that open air Jeep. You know, it could be 20 degrees out. Patton was riding around with that open air, you know. Throw Wink in the back seat with Patton and give it the best shot.
Yeah. Speaking of that, saw one of those veterans at the airport yesterday. It's unbelievable.
World War II veteran?
Oh my God. I mean, it got to be 100 years old.
Wow. Yeah. Not many of them around anymore.
But, no, there's not. Yeah. But when you see them, man, thank him.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Getting emotional going up to him, dude. It's like, man, these guys saw some shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
Anyway, yeah. Rich Redmond. Rich Redmond, when the Giants go 4-0.
Hope you're feeling better, Rich.
Yeah, yes. Right. Yeah. Here we go. When the Giants go 4-0 and we all lose our minds, are you buying your Super Bowl tickets with a credit card or check? Hashtag Barkley MVP. I'm not touching the money, Rich, but I'll be thinking about what my plans are. Yes, but you don't do it yet, buddy. But great question.
Neither for me, Rich. I'll have a press credential.
There you go. Nice. Mic drop. Gibbo at Brett_Gibson. What is it that we are overlooking in the glory of being 1-0? Hashtag Aussie Buffoon Crew. For me, it was how well Jihad Ward played. And I had to watch that game again to see it. I overlooked that game one. I know that, Chris, you mentioned it to your credit, but there's different things you watch during the game and some things you miss. When I watched that game again, I was just like, wow, this guy was all over the place, sealing the edge. And I love I like my defensive guys fiery, and my linebackers especially, my edge guys. Like, he just had so much passion playing and played a great game. That's what I overlooked.
I'll tell you one guy that was overlooked that nobody talked about and who made one of the biggest plays of the game. Nick Williams.
Oh, okay. Good one.
On that third down play where he smelled out that little jet, that tight end. I think it was the tight end sweep, if I remember right, the tight end jet. And he got the tackle in there and broke up that play. That was a huge play, bro. That was a huge play. You get a first down there, it could be a different story. I thought Nick Williams played well in his snaps. Yeah. I thought that was something. I thought nobody was really talking about him.
It's a good one as well.
But Nick Williams, I think I did mention on Twitter during the week after the game, I said Nick Williams really played, he played well. He came up with a huge play.
Yep.
So I thought he was overlooked a little bit. I thought at first, Jerry, Aaron Robinson was a little overlooked how well he played.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I brought him up on the podcast. I'm like, I think he played well, right? Because I didn't hear his name.
I'm trying to think of somebody. I thought a little bit overlooked because he got beat once by Jeffrey Simmons on a sack. But I thought the rookie in the second half might have been a little overlooked, Joshua Ezeidio, where he made some big blocks in that second half. So maybe a few guys there. I might be missing somebody too, but
good question though.
Nick Williams, it was a good question. Nick Williams, I thought was really not talked about, but he made one of the biggest plays of the game.
D from Cranford 89, latest podcast was just awesome. Thank you. Will we run more three safety sets to match up better with McCaffrey in the run game? And that kind of goes with Joey Z's question as well. And then the second question, what type of hairstyle do you expect to see from McAdoo Sunday? So first, do you see three safety sets? And Joey Z asked Joey Z didn't ask that. Someone else did. Ryan Chapman asked that. The best scheme to cover for McCaffrey. Sorry, Joey Z. So do you think you'll see that, Chris?
Well, you saw it last week too, but I think what the adjustments you're going to see is that you just can't have one of these inside backers on McCaffrey.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
They're going to have to make some kind of adjustment now because Crowder and Kalitro, they were hurting those, you know. And they're going to try to do that with McCaffrey. They're going to try to iso McCaffrey on linebackers, especially on first down.
Right.
So that's going to be something that's going to have to be adjusted by a wink, you know. But he went with a lot of three safety looks last week. So expect to see more of it.
And I think McAdoo's done with the slick hair. I think he goes floppy now again.
No, he doesn't have the slick hair anymore. Yeah. He's got a little scruffy beard. He's got the hair out. He's got the whole thing going on now.
Looking like he's like a big Pearl Jam fan from the 90s. All right. Tom Ark 71. Love the pod, guys, and the entertainment. Difficult to understand the injury report these days. You know what? Sorry. He's asking about Tony. We answered that. Oh, this is why I highlighted it. Thanks again, and love that Little League home run given up by those Red Sox. So, I guess the Gleyber Torres one he's talking about. That's why.
The Little League home
run? because Michael Kay called it a Little League home
run. A ball. Well, Michael Kay was right. They were throwing a ball around like a Little League team, man.
Well,
don't get me started on that, please.
Good stuff.
I'm enjoying. Let's just say I'm enjoying that football season has started, Jerry.
How are you? I gotta ask because I gave you a week.
Before I mother effed Alex Cora for 9 hours for putting guys in center field playing, playing like he's just managing like the, yeah, no, we're just gonna look at certain things, we're done. Yeah, okay, Alex. Right.
I gotta ask, dude, how are your football Saturdays so like right now? Are you all right?
Why do you got to ruin my day?
Well, but I didn't want to text you. Like, I saw that last week. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh just
my
totally, God. Totally disgusted, bro. Yeah. Totally disgusted. Yeah, no, look, you know, when this isn't the NFL. You go 0-2. You say, okay, we could win in week three. No, we could make done. A run. You know, college season, you're 0-2. You're done. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You have nothing to look forward to the rest of the last 10 games. You're
isn't
like
terrible?
Done.
It's the way it is.
I mean, that is the beauty of college football. Like, you know, even if you have a top-ranked team, like Texas A&M, they go out and they lose to Appalachian State, and you basically say to yourself, all right, well, they're still kind of in it, but, man, your season could be done now losing a game like that. College football, you get that one loss, and you could be, wow, we're done, you know? Yeah. We're not going to make the playoff berth or whatever it could be. As far as Notre Dame, I mean, obviously 0-2. Done. Season's done, bro. The enthusiasm, you know, it's just like finished. It's finished. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And you look forward to Saturday afternoons, Jerry. At least I do. In the fall, you know, the golden helmet.
No, I love it.
Sunshine. Here come the golden helmets. Dude, yeah. We're done.
Here come the Irish. We're done. I watched it. I blame myself. I'm like, man, am I doing this to Chris? Like I said, I'll watch Notre Dame. I'm like, this is tough to watch. And then I'm watching Julian Love tweet, suicide tweets.
Oh no. I saw Julian yesterday, man. I was like, just shaking my head. I go, Julian, what the F, you know?
Yeah.
And he just shook his head. He goes, I don't know what the hell's going on. He was like, I don't know. I can't explain it. He goes like that, you know? So
we'll go two more. Chris at 56, G-Man 64. Am I the only one getting Gary Shirk vibes from Chris Myrick, Chris?
Well, I don't know about that. Boy, that is a name from the past.
I'll give you one. What the vibe I get from him, Bob Marasco. Boom.
Bob Marasco.
Yep.
Oof.
Yeah. Caught a touchdown against the Bears, I think, in the playoffs. Good, Giants. Good. Yeah. Big Blue VCR. Find that. So.
Myrick, yeah, I guess you could say that, you know. Smart. Listen, Kafka Dable, very smart. The way they drew up that play last week, you know. And look, you saw the little creativity going on, right, with the motion in the red zone.
Yep.
Something I've talked about, you know, since I've been watching OTAs. So they come down with Shep, two consecutive plays. Shep comes down to block,
yeah,
right? They run the ball. The play on Myrick. David Sills comes down in. They give the same look on the opposite side. And, bro, you know, this is not rocket science. So linebackers are thinking run again. They bite. Myrick slips it to the flat wide open. This is what I mean about creativity, bro. You know what I mean? This is what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So great design by Kafka. And look, the two-point conversion, or that little flip, that little shovel that they love to do from Kansas City, you saw it again last night. Saquon made that play, bro. Saquon made that play with that little deke, no question about it. I watched it, Jerry, about 10 more times. I'm like, holy shit.
There was almost nothing there.
Yeah, like Saquon made this play. Totally. You know what I mean? It was incredible. He really did, so.
Yep. Two more, one kind of off the wall. Anytime 55 at I Hate Dead Ends. Are the Giants the only team with no cheerleaders? And if yes, why? Just curious. I think so, and they just don't believe in them. It's something they made a statement a long time ago. They're not going to have cheerleaders. It's just a thing. Second one of those, and last one. I lost it. Here we go. This is an important one. Easy Peasy at Easy AESQ. Was traveling last weekend and forgot to pack a jersey for game day. Long story short, I ended up wearing this Sir Winston Walrus shirt. Am I now obligated to wear this until the Giants lose a game, or will any theme park mascot shirt do? That is such a dumb question, in that you absolutely should be wearing that shirt every week. You can't change that. You have to wear the exact same clothes. I understand you're going to be in different locations, especially since it's a home game. A lot of you have season tickets. But you got to do exactly what you did last week, guys. We got to win. And I, half joking, easy peasy, but you got to wear the shirt again. Wear the same stuff you wore until they lose. We're all in this together. Just, I don't care if you wore, you know, a Jared Bunch jersey last week and they won. You're wearing it the rest of the year. So that's that. You know how I am with superstition. Don't screw it up, guys. Let's go. All right. And now the pick segment. I'm up one. So I think I'm going to retire from that forever, guys. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody. No,
see you next year. So
I'm up one because of the Giants, oddly enough. We had five different. And yeah, there you go. We were 2-2, and then Giants. Boom. And last night, you would have had the Chiefs, right? Because I think I would have.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, 1 o'clock, Patriots-Steelers, Chris. I can't believe the Steelers. I like you said, Mike Tomlin. I know that Burrow threw it to them, but to be 1-0, unbelievable.
Yep.
Tomlin. Yeah.
Leave it to Mike. Never doubt Mike Tomlin.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Who do you like?
On that note, I'm going to go with New England.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, Belichick against Trubisky, huh? I'm going to go Steelers at home. I'm going to regret it. I'm up 1. I can be a little careless, Chris.
got some leeway here.
Jets at Browns.
I'm going to surprise you maybe with this one. I like the Jets. I think the Jets are going to win this one.
Unless Mike White is playing, I'm going with the Browns. I feel bad for Jets fans. I really do. The fact that you have
no,
to
you
watch.
Don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You totally do not feel bad for Jets fans. Stop.
A little. The fact that they have to watch Joe Flacco. If they have to watch Joe Flacco for 4 weeks, their season's going to be over, and it's like you just said with Notre Dame. Like, what the hell do I do on Sundays now? Just going to watch and watch, and that's it. I don't understand the Joe Flacco thing, guys. Play Mike White. Give yourselves a chance because Flacco's not it. So I'm going to go with the Browns. Oh, by the way, Colts at Jags, Chris. Before I forget, did you see the number of the football for the 60,000 yard passing for Matt Ryan? Did you see what number was on the football?
No.
2-8-3. 28-3. You can't make that up. Now, if I'm Matt Ryan, I don't even want that ball going to the Hall of Fame. I'm like, no, guys, scratch it off. Give me a Sharpie, something.
Right.
Because everyone's going to see it. Every Patriots fan's going to go there, take a picture of it, and laugh. But I couldn't believe that. So
I did not know that, Jerry. That's unbelievable.
Wow. It's insane. Yeah. But Colts at Jags, who do you like?
Man, you know, I had the Jaguars in an upset last week, and damn, they had the lead, and then they allowed some big plays. I like the way the Colts finished up in the second half with Matt Ryan. I'm gonna go with the Colts, bro.
Me too. When did Trevor Lawrence get so careless now? Like, I don't know. It's getting annoying to watch. Plus, I was rooting for him last week. Like, come on, Trevor.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? I know, right? He missed some throws, got a little careless, and then Wentz, who looked like a tomato as usual, came up with some big plays that just can't happen.
He's so hot and cold.
Oh my God! You know, so I was like, I was making fun of him on Twitter when he threw that little pass to Trevon Walker's hands.
Yeah, nice
into his
nice
hands, and I was like, look at this tomato. You know. Then he comes up with some big plays that makes me look like an ass at the end. But I like the Colts. I like this Colts team with Matt Ryan. I know they got out of the gate slow last week. They wound up with a tie, but I'm going to go with the Colts.
Me too. Dolphins at Ravens.
Look, this is another interesting game, man. Dolphins defense, man. Baltimore's running game, I don't think look like Lamar isn't going to be as much of a factor running game this year. He gained weight. He added some muscle, and their running game's hurting a little bit. This is a tough, but I can't go against Baltimore at home. I'm going to go Baltimore, Jerry.
Yeah, Lamar against Tua, that's what I'm coming down to, and I got to go Baltimore as well. I know there's other factors, but I'm not a believer in Tua yet, dude.
Yeah.
Bucks at Saints.
I know the Saints have owned Brady the last few years in the regular season, I know the Saints came from behind to somehow come win that game. I'm still going to go with Brady and the Bucks, though.
Same. I can't possibly go with the Saints. Commanders at Lions. I'll go first here. This is going to be a good game. Lions played the Eagles very well last week, ran all over them. I'm going to go with the Lions at home.
Dude, I'm with you. I'm with you, bro. I think the Lions and Dan Campbell are biting some kneecaps. I think they're gonna finished strong against the Eagles. They had a shot.
Yeah.
Ran the ball well. I'm gonna go with the Lions at home too. I think the Lions are gonna take this in a close one over Washington. I just can't trust Wentz, bro. Same. I'm gonna go with the Lions at home.
Yep. Seahawks at 49ers. This is a good one. All of a sudden.
Yeah. Seattle, coming off the nice win there.
Desperate Niner team. I'm gonna go Niners at home.
I'm gonna go Niners too, bro. I'm gonna go Niners. You know, I know the Niners lost last week, but they also played like in a downpour too, you know. So I'm gonna go with the 49ers responding.
Falcons at Rams, that's easy. Rams at home.
Yeah.
Cardinals at Raiders. Two losses last week for these guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Raiders at home.
I'm gonna go Cardinals on the road. Even though I'm becoming less and less of a believer with Kyler Murray.
So you're going with the Cardinals or
I am going with the Cardinals, but I'm just saying I'm becoming less of a believer in Kyler Murray now.
Well, I don't blame you there, bro.
Texans at Broncos. Broncos to
Yeah, I think know. Russell, right? Yeah. I think we're both agreement in that one.
Although, how bad was his throw to Jerry Jeudy, where Jerry Jeudy had the guy by 20 yards? It was still a touchdown, but holy cow. My God. Bengals at Cowboys. Ooh, let go Bengals, baby. Like the Bengals in this one.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati too.
4 o'clock game for everybody to watch Cowboys lose. Come on, let's set up this Sunday beautifully with a win, 1 o'clock, huh? Bears at Packers, 8:20.
Go with the Pack.
Yeah, we have to, right? Aaron Rodgers going to rebound. Monday night, there's two games. Titans at Bills. Titans are desperate, but Bills are home, buddy.
Yeah, go Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, right? Then Monday
night. What's the over and under? How many punts for Buffalo?
Yeah, right.
One?
0.5.
Holy crap. That stat. When I saw that stat yesterday, I was like, how could that be possible?
What, 3 games in a row, right?
3 out of 4.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay.
3 out of the last 4. I don't know if it's 3 in a row. I don't think it's 3 in a row. But it's 3 out of the last 4.
It's crazy.
That's incredible, dude.
Yeah.
I'll go with the Bills. I'll go with the Bills.
Same. Another good one Monday night. Giant fans are going to be watching this one, at least for a while. 8:30. Vikings at Philly.
Look, Jerry, I put predictions out there. I had the Vikings winning this division.
You did?
I know a lot of people, including my... including my friend Bob Papa made fun of me a little bit with this one. When I said, watch this Viking team. Oh, come on. Papa was like, oh, the GM doesn't even like the quarterback. I was like, okay, I'm telling you. We'll see in week one. They'll set the tone. Well, they went out and set the tone. They whipped up on the Pack. I like this. I like what the Vikings did, Jerry, this offseason, building that defense up a little bit. I thought the free agent signing of Za'Darius Smith was huge for the Vikings.
One of the Smith brothers, yeah.
I thought the signing of Jordan Hicks was huge for the Vikings. Yep. They both dominated week one.
Totally.
I tell you what, I know we all like the Eagles to win this division. I'm going to go with the Vikes on the road, bro, with Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson. I'm gonna go with the Vikes to go into Philly and beat them like in a 27-24, 27-23 type game.
You know,
bro.
Sometimes
I like this Vike team, bro. I like them, brother. I could be wrong in the end, but I like them.
Sometimes I think my hatred of Philly blinds me, and it does. But I felt the same way, and I feel the same way about this game. And I'm telling you right now, Jalen Hurts, at least in game one, and what I've seen is a one read, two read, I'm taking off quarterback. I am not a believer in him yet. I know he was a winner in college. I am not a believer. And that's why I keep saying you have to root for the Saints to win games because the Eagles have that. Sorry to get ahead. But the Eagles have the number that the Saints first round pick next year. And I totally think they're going to be replacing Jalen Hurts. I'm not a believer in him. And I'm going with the Vikings. I'm sorry to be all over the place, but I have to be that way with them. I can't stand them. And I'm telling you, they are in. Jalen Hurts is in over his head with the, especially being that he has so much talent around him. The pressure's on him. He's not the guy. I'll say it now. He's not the guy. I'm going with the Vikings too. It starts this week with that Philly team. There you go,
Jerry. Just a quick thing on the Eagles too, man. You know Howie Roseman when he traded for AJ Brown, bro. Remember what I said? I said I can't believe they just got AJ Brown. Remember I was like, I cannot believe the Eagles pulled this off.
Right.
You know. I love it. You know, you already saw what the hell he's going to do for this offense. You know, 10 catches last week. You know, I just, you know, Howie Roseman, man, credit to him for getting this guy. You know, he already made a big difference for the Eagles.
And the fact that he could trade Jalen Reagor for anything. How did you get anything for Jalen Reagor? We can't get anybody for Darius Slayton. And I'd rather have Darius Slayton over Jalen Reagor. What does he have on these GMs?
He must have naked pictures of these guys.
Oh my God.
Oh, they got girlfriends, and he's got pictures of them with girlfriends. I don't know how the hell Howie Roseman does it sometimes.
I really laugh half the time when the Eagles are like, oh, Jalen Reagor's on the block. I'm like, oh, are you going to give him a bag of balls for him? Great. That's awesome. Yeah. And they end up getting like a fifth or a seventh. The fact that they got a seventh even. Holy cow.
Incredible. Anyway. And by the way, he's back. He's back in, you know, he's going to be looking for a little revenge himself if he's playing Monday night.
I love like a punt return for a score at that damn stadium. All right. Last game, most important one, the 1-0 Giants against the 0-1 Carolina Panthers. Who do you got, buddy?
Go ahead.
Chris, I felt good earlier in the week. As the week goes on, I don't feel as good. Guys, it's going to be a great tailgate. It's going to be a close game. But I'm not ready to say that the Giants can be 2-0. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to come a little back down to reality this week and be 1-1. I'm so sorry. It's going to be close. 24-20.
Yeah, I'm with Jerry. I hate to say it. I'm with Jerry here. Not that I hate to say I'm with Jerry. I mean, I hate to say it with loss.
Right.
As far as, I look at the matchups here. I think Saquon's going to have a big one, Jerry. I do. But I think, I hate to say it, I think Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore are going to do a little damage on us this week. I think, you know, Wink's going to go after them. And I think it could hurt them a few times this week. I like Carolina in a tight one, like in a 24-17 type game.
I'm most worried about what they're going to do to stop McCaffrey. I can see a very annoying screen game, things like that. Not so much even in the run game, but the screen game where they're going to get him.
Yeah.
And he's going to get big chunks and annoy the hell out of us. So, hey, listen, I hope I'm wrong, guys.
Oh, we all hope we're wrong. Yeah.
But I see losing a close one. So. But if we don't.
Yeah.
But good that's why
we, you know, yeah. We both think it's gonna be close, and it could go back and forth. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, so but look, Jerry, it's the same. You know, fighting class. They're both middleweights and all. And you know, so I like, you know, you look at this roster and go, So it could go either way. Turnovers. You know, we'll see. You know, Daniels 2 turnovers last week. Hopefully none this week.
Yep.
That's gonna be big. That's gonna be big in the game. And you could get turnovers on Baker, bro.
Yep. Yeah, you can.
Hey, Jerry, just quickly. I think it's the first time I've seen this drill yesterday. Defensive linemen were doing a knockdown drill.
Oh, nice.
In individuals yesterday. They were all working on knocking down passes, which I think Baker's number one in the league the last few years in getting passes deflected at the line of scrimmage.
What's he, like 5'10"?
So, yeah, I think he had a few last week, too, against the Browns.
Right.
I think O'Shane, the X-Man, had one last week.
Yep.
Somebody else had one. Yeah. I forget who it was. It might have been Nick Williams. Somebody else had one, I think, at the last week.
Yes, it was Nick Williams.
Right. That Giants are going to have their hands up, you know. And Baker is definitely, you know, get some pressure on him. Who knows what the hell he's going to do.
Yeah.
So we'll see, brother. That's why you're playing.
Good stuff. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, which prints this Sunday, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys. Have fun Sunday. You've earned it. 1-0. Sundays are Giant days, baby. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, enjoy the game. Take care.